Welcome to the Intentional Father, an MLG podcast. We are on a journey of exploring how to grow as godly dads, making intentional and practical steps towards building stronger relationships with our children to help them discover who they are in Christ. This is session two of the course that we are working through together. We're on a journey as dads to learn and grow together. And so session two is all about, what do we want to pass on to our children? What do we want to pass on to our children? So as always, I'm joined by John. How are you this morning, John?
Good, thank you, Tim. Feeling quite intentional today. I'd say 6 out of 10. How about you?
Yes, definitely. No, I'm feeling more intentional. I'm feeling a good 8 or 9.
Oh, strong.
Feeling especially intentional this morning. Yes, it's good. Do you remember the film Cool Runnings?
Yeah.
And I'm feeling very Olympic today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling very Olympic today. Feeling very intentional today. So it's good.
There's so many classic lines from that film, but now is not the time.
Now is not the time. Cool Runnings, still one of my favorites. As an intentional father, by the way, I encourage all intentional fathers to watch Cool Runnings with their children. So many life lessons to be obtained from watching that. But we're talking today about what we want to pass on to our children. And so really what we want to do is to start, ironically, at the end and work backwards. And so we want to ask ourselves the question, what is it that I want my son or my daughter to be able to know, to be able to do, to be, what skills they have, what experiences do they need to have by the time that they leave me? And then really, and this is why it's intentional, we're thinking about the end point and we're working our way backwards so that we can start to plan for those things over the coming years ahead. And I think it's definitely true, isn't it, John, that the reality of the world we live in is that if we don't disciple our children, if we don't instruct them and guide them, I mean, the Bible says, doesn't it, that we are to teach a child in the way that he should go and he will walk in it. And so for us just to be kind of relaxed and, oh, well, who cares, it will all work itself out, means that by default, we're giving responsibility to the world, to the school system, to the TV, to Netflix, to essentially teach our children what is right or wrong and how to live their life, what they should value, what they shouldn't value. And so I think this is why we're doing this whole podcast. I'm going to get excited now. But this is why we're doing it, is because we need to take this responsibility really seriously. We cannot just kind of go, oh, well, who cares? Because we don't live in a Christian society anymore. We don't live in a society that's got good, strong family values. And so what's going to happen is, by default, and we're seeing it in the world, the society that we're living in is kind of falling apart, fragmented. No one can work out who they are or where they're from. We're seeing, you know, as we talked about in the last podcast, we're seeing, you know, mental health significant on the rise, suicides on the rise, you know, marriage breakdown is on the increase, all this kind of stuff. And so really, we want to take this really seriously. And so we're thinking about today, what am I going to pass on to my kids? How am I going to help them make that step? What do I want them to know, be, and able to do? So, John, in order to do that, we need to start, and this is where we're going to start in our workbook, reflecting on personally what it is that I value, because it's all well and good having a long list of things that we want our kids to be, new and do and know, etc. But if it doesn't really align with what we think is important, if it's just something that truthfully we've just picked out of a book or listened that Tim and John said it was important, it actually won't have much impact. So we're going to start by thinking a lot about what we value personally. So do you want to give us some examples of what we mean by that and kind of explore that for us a little?
Yeah, well, I think the first session of the workbook really just continues on from session one, where we're just reflecting a little bit on our own childhoods and how we were brought up. And this is really important. It's partly because there's going to be some amazing things that we want to bring and pass on to our children, but there'll also be some things that we think, I don't want to pass on that. And so actually stopping and reflecting and preparing, although I'm itching to get into, you know, the looking forward stuff, is really important. So the first exercise you'll come across is a bit of a timeline of your life, where you're, you know, you can go from zero, if you like, to where you are at the moment. And if you'd like to do this, you can just plot some of the moments in your life that you thought, oh, this was amazing. It might be the birth of your first child, for example. It might be a moment when you got your first job. Whatever it might be, those will be points, you know, higher up on the
first time you met Tim Cross.
Yeah, the first time I met Tim Cross, somewhere below. No.
Shall I put the diagram up, John?
Yeah, go on then. So I thought you were starting to go into examples of the valleys, but now, of course, that would be a mountaintop experience. So what are the highs? What are the lows? But there'll be some sad times in your life. There's some times in my life that like a Matt, where there's been deep sadness and loss in my family, in work situations. And it just, you know, encourage you to do that. And you might map that, and as you can see that the graph might sort of waver up or down. And I think just to then reflect on that and think, what have I learned from those times? What are the things that have shaped me as a person? Because inevitably that's going to impact what you pass on to your children, whether they're positive or negative things. So just having that time just to share, and then as you feel able to, sharing, because part of this course is we're getting people to, you know, getting together in small groups and sharing in more depth some of the pain points and joys in our lives. So that is, we feel that's like a helpful place to start with a bit of a personal timeline.
But it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting, John, as I reflect on my own parenting, like you realize that, say, for example, winning a cricket, for example, or, you know, I remember having a few experiences where I played cricket, and of course that's impacted me and what I value, because of course my boys have now all got passionate about cricket. And so it's important to realize, but equally I think on the negative, isn't it, we think about the negatives, the number of times in pastoral ministry you hear people say that experience just scarred me and I'm never going to let my kids go through that kind of experience again. And so that's why we want people to do this exercise, because actually if you don't spot those moments in your life, you'll subconsciously be bringing them into your parenting for good and for bad. And so I think it's just helpful to reflect on that, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think from that comes a sense of personal values. And the reality is everybody has values. We all value something. We all value some things. And that often drives a lot of our work. It drives a lot of our reactions, you know, to other people, and to our children as well, because there's some things that we value, and when our values are hijacked or they're, you know, someone cuts across our values, we react. But oftentimes we haven't actually stood back and thought, well, what actually do I value? What we're going to try and do in this time. And we'll unpack that more in our Zoom calls together and in small groups. So the sort of questions that are helpful to tap into that, because you might decide, I don't know, John, what are my personal values? Well, these are the sort of things we might do. So it might be like, what do you admire in other people? Sometimes what we value is what we admire in other people. Asking the question, you know, what have I learned about God? What are the things that I've learned over the years? And just sort of looking at the things that situations in your life, perhaps reflecting back and thinking, well, what is it? I value honesty. You know, you might say, I hate it when people lie to me, for example. Or you might value, you know, integrity, or you might value, calmness, or you might value planning. Everything has to be planned. Or you might value, you know, finishing projects, and you really find it very difficult when someone in your family starts something but doesn't finish it. And it can be real points of frustration. And understanding ourselves in this time is helpful. I mean, Tim, have you got any examples of things that you value?
Yeah, like, so I would say I realised, it was a few years ago, I realised how much I value honesty. I realised that I don't mind if it's negative. I just would just rather know the truth. And so I realised that I've encouraged my children to be honest. I want, you know, if it doesn't matter what you've done, providing that you're honest. And I think that, you know, I think I got that from my dad. I think I realised how much I value friendship. As a family, we value friendship, and so we will often sometimes almost overload our schedule, but we do that because actually maintaining friendships is super important to us. And things like family holidays, I know it sounds like an obvious one, but you know, I really value, we as a family value holidays. I was asking my wife, like, what does she want to do for her, you know, 40th above everything else, you know, and really her answer was, I want to just go away with you and the children. Like, and so that's realizing that's a personal value that's really important to her. And it's something that we want to pass on. We love our kids spending time together. And so it's things like that, you know, that I think are really important. If you know that, it will shape the way that you intentionally raise your children. So just to talk very, very practically, if that's okay, John, like we have two rules in our house, two rules. Which is basically kindness and honesty. So those are our principles that we consistently repeat to our children. And we're not like, is it fair? You know, when there's an argument, it's not what's fair or what's even right. It's what's kind, because we find that's much more helpful. And again, we're not, you know, we will punish them more for being dishonest than we will for the actual misdemeanor itself. And we'll say, look, you know, this is the punishment for doing something incorrect, you know, something wrong, you know, et cetera, like, I don't know, hitting your brother or something, which of course does happen, you know, three boys. But it's actually, if you lie about it and you try and pretend you didn't do it, actually the punishment will be much more severe for that. So again, that's how we outwork that personal value. Practically, it does impact us, and knowing that has been very helpful to us.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I think, you know, one of mine is, you know, say what you mean what you say, and don't be mean when you say it. And those things are really important to me. You know, my value, say what you mean. If you're talking around a topic, I get quite frustrated. There are some people in my family who they'd actually speak in a different way, but I value saying what you mean. I value meaning what you say, and similar to you, I think, you know, the kindness thing, really, don't be mean when you say it. We talk to each other with respect and care. I value harmony as well. I've noticed that I don't like, I'm not a big fan of stressful situations. I value harmony in my house, but of course, if you have artificial harmony, then that's not healthy. So I've had to learn that harmony itself isn't necessarily the right thing. Sometimes things do need to be thrashed out.
Absolutely.
So I mean, personal values, just understanding that, and some of us, you know, have driven also by a sense of scripture. I mean, my key scripture in my life is Isaiah 61 verse 3, which talking about the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I really value, scripturally, I value the sense of growing leaders and growing people, about deep roots going down so that tree might flourish. And a lot of what I do in my life flows out of that, and that verse, and how God's spoken to me through that.
Is it also because you're just massive?
Probably. The biggest tree. I'm the biggest tree in the woods.
Yeah. I think this is important. And I think, like, again, as we get into the course, this, you know, we get much more practical as we go on. And it can maybe feel a little bit like, what is this? And this is the point about doing this together, is that being able to talk through these things together will help us unpack it and understand it better. Because I think you know, to make this point, really, the more that you understand what you value for right and for wrong, the more it will guide what you're actually trying to do. Because so often, and this is where the pinch points come, in family life, often conflict comes because someone is essentially disrespecting or not following a value that you have. And so the fact that, for example, I don't know, someone's getting a bit irate or angry about, you know, the toilet seat, for example, to put a very, you know, silly example, is actually really more to do with what you value underneath than it is. And when you can see what you value, you can call it for what it is. That's because I get upset because I value this about it, rather than the incident itself. And it will help you in your parenting to understand what you value as we go forward.
Absolutely.
So, John, should we move on to talk about the next section then? So once we've reflected on our personal values, and we've reflected on our journey, things that are important, not important to us, we then need to think really quite practically now, looking ahead, as we said, to the end point. What is it that we want our kids to be able to know, do, experience, that kind of stuff? So we've broken this down into four different categories. We've talked about wisdom, skills, character, and experiences. So what wisdom do we want our boys to have obtained from us? And our daughters. So I talk about boys because if I say boys, it's simply because I've got three boys.
You've got three of them.
So I think boy. Skills, what practical skills do you want your child to have? What character do you want them to have? So, for example, you really want your I was going to say boys there. You really want your children to be honest. So for me, I want my boys to be honest. So I want to get that, you know, for them to be leaving home knowing that honesty is a top priority, and that always being honest in every situation is the best thing they can do. And lastly, what do you want them to experience? What do you want them to have known? So, John, do you want to talk through some examples? And let's start with wisdom then. So what do you want your son or daughter to know about God, about themselves, and about life? So do you want to give us some examples of the kind of things that you're wanting to pass on?
Yeah, I'll just fly through some examples, really. And this isn't like the answers by any means. This is just to fire our imaginations a little bit. I think we'll all come up with different things in discussions. So what do I want my children to know about God? Well, I want them to know that he loves them unconditionally. Yeah. I think that's just so foundational. that God loves them. And also, I want them to know that God is more satisfying than anything and anyone else. I want to know that the joy in the Lord is the most satisfying thing in life. That's huge for me in terms of what I want them to know about God.
Is Piper your middle name?
Yes, right. Oh, dear. And to handle the Bible. So I think that's not directly knowing about God, but actually to hear God speak to them, I want them to understand how to handle the Bible. Practically. So that's some of the things I want them to know about God. There's some things that I want to know about themselves as well. I want them to know what their gifts are. I want them to know what their personality tendencies are. I want them to understand their bodies, what it means to be a girl, what it means to be a boy. I want to talk about, you know, how to steward your body, like exercise, healthy eating, you know, mental health, things like that, strengths and weaknesses. So there's a number of things I'd love them to learn.
And I think that whole thing about personality is really important, isn't it? So little things like, you know, knowing if you're an extrovert or an introvert, like that's massively helpful. Yeah. Like, I mean, many of us will know an introvert or an extrovert. But the more I didn't really learn that until I was in my really late 20s. Or maybe really understood what it meant into my late 20s. But for example, realizing my tendencies is massively helpful to planning my schedule. You know, realizing that we were having this conversation about one of our boys, that actually we realized that they're an extrovert, and they've been part of the reason why maybe they've been a bit low recently is because we just haven't been out enough and I haven't been seeing people, because we reflected the difference in his mood and attitude after we'd had a few guys to watch Arsenal win. Amen. and you know how much the difference in his mood was because he was an extrovert, and I think him understanding that is super important. And so just stuff like that is really
we've
really
got cool. A whole, in fact, session 3 we're talking a lot more about that.
Absolutely good. Yeah.
Our child specifically, so yeah, that's good. I mean, so that about him, I heard stuff, and then there's some things I wanted to know about life, and there's loads of stuff we could teach about life, you know. One more spiritual one is, you know, sin has consequences, and actually looking at the natural consequences of being deceitful, lying, and that kind of thing. You know, I want them to understand what it looks like to be part of a family, what it looks like to love your wife, what it looks like to love a husband. I want them to understand some of the realities of work and responsibility in time. So yeah, a number of things. So that's, you know, what do we want them to know? Well, how do we want them to be wise, knowing about God, about themselves, and about life? So that's probably the first part.
Yeah, it's good. So that's the first one. So no, and again, this can feel quite overwhelming, but this is why we're on a journey, because we are intentionally thinking about these things. You haven't got to suddenly get it all in go one. But I think the starting to think, well, actually, I do want my children to know about God. That's really important, or the Bible, etc. So the next thing is really about character. Let's pick up on character. Yeah. What do I want my son daughter to be? And if I can just chip in to start, right? Yeah. I realize. Because we've got a little list here we're looking at. And John's top one is wise. Well, I realise I remember being 13 and praying that God would make me wise, because Solomon prayed that he would have wisdom. Yeah. And I realised that I want my boys to be wise. And so things like, just really practically, like if I want my boys to be wise, I need to do the Proverbs with them, stuff like that. But yeah, go on. What other things in terms of character do you want them to know, John?
Yeah, I mean, I want my children to be courageous. Part of our family motto, in fact, one of our children's names means courageous, and that's also lovely, looking at the meaning of our kids' names. But I want them to be correct. I want them to love justice. I want them to fight for the little one. That's one thing I want us as a family to be as well. I want them to be compassionate. I want them to have compassion on those who need compassion. I want them to be submissive. So I want them to learn to follow, that actually, you know, with teachers and whoever it is, I want them to learn to submit. But
I just want to interrupt you. But submission, right? Like the big issue that I just want to say is, as a leader, is like having people who have got a submissive heart. Yeah. And you realize that comes, doesn't it, as from a parenting point of view. I want my boys to know what it is to follow, to be a good follower of people. Sorry, John, I just totally interrupted
you. You have to interrupt me because I'm excited about all this. So, I want them to be a great friend. As a character thing, to be a great friend. What does it take to be a great friend? Some of these things you don't just learn. You need to be taught and to talk it through. To be a great team player. So what does it look like to be on a team? That feeds into submission and leadership as well. I mean, there's loads of other things we could put. Humility, you know, all sorts of things. But those are some of mine.
And again, thinking, so this is why it's intentional. So if you want your child to be, you know, if you personally value, which I do, being part of a team, massively important to me as a personal value, then that's one of the reasons why I encourage my boys to play sport, because it teaches them teamwork. I want them to be a good loser, to do well in defeat, to be gracious in defeat. And the best way to be gracious in defeat is for them to play in a sports team. Not to see every sports team going, but actually for me, that's a priority. So it's a massive pain in the backside to have to take all three of my children to their various different, you know, sports. They all play cricket, but they're different times. And it's a real tiring thing, but I know why I'm doing it. It's intentional.
Yeah. If you wanted to be a good loser, just get them to be a Spurs fan.
Amen.
Be very intentional. Amen.
John and I both support Arsenal. So it's, I kind of follow Arsenal, mainly because all my boys are mad.
Pride comes before a fall, as I say.
Yes, absolutely, it does. So skills then. I mean, we could go on and on about skills, but I mean, I think this is probably the most easy one to highlight. You know, everybody wants their child surely to be able to change a light bulb. I remember once having to help a lady who didn't know how to change a light bulb, and it was like, really, surely, like, you should have been, you know, instructed to be able to change a light bulb. Come on now.
Yeah.
You know. So come on, what other things then? Come on, just give us a few practically.
Build a den. I mean, number one, I think there's something that lots of us put down, things like swimming, be able to cook a meal. Finances for us is a big thing.
Yeah.
So we sort of start pocket money, and the principle is that you give, you save, and you spend. And actually, we kind of put across, you know, in thirds, give, save, spend. And we carefully sort of increase the amount that we give every year and help them make decisions.
Wow.
Because ideally we want them to be able to manage their finances, to be generous, to be those who save and so on. So that's a big thing for us. You know, I want them to be able to change a bike tire, to manage their mobile phone, to open and maintain a bank account, play a musical instrument, you know, edit a video. I think there's things like that that's just, I'd love them to be able to do, ultimately drive a car. But also, you know, skills of like how to be bored. I think that's a great skill.
Oh, wow.
How to listen well, again. Big skill. Not many people listen well. I want to teach my children how to consume the news and understand how to make great decisions, how to handle criticism, things like that.
I think, you know, taking the example of finance, again, this is where it links back to your personal values. So one of our personal values is being financially stable.
Yeah.
So that's a value. Like, I want to be financially stable. I don't necessarily want to be super rich, but I do want to be financially stable, and I want to be secure, and I want to have control of my money. And so if you know that that's a value, you're going to then want to teach your children that. And you're going to get stressed when they don't have a sense of the value of money, for example. It's going to stress you out, because it used to stress me out. And so we actually opened, other apps are available, but we actually got them. First of all, we got them a GoHenry account to manage their money, and now we use Revolut because it's free. But there are other apps out there. Money Jar, I think, is one, and stuff like that. And so this is part of what we want to do on this course, isn't it? Help one another, share ideas around some of this practical stuff. And also, like, I know it sounds silly, but how to change the oil, how to change a tire, you know, how can we maybe have like a little mechanic session together as a group where we actually get the boys and the girls? Because this thing, the girls, I think, is so important, isn't it? So many of these skills aren't just boy skills. They're absolutely, both gender skills. And so be able to paint well, you know, be able to decorate, you know, can't we get the boys and the girls together to teach them how to decorate effectively? Because I've watched, you know, people in their 20s have absolutely no idea how to paint a room, for example, you know. So, very practically, very good. Good. What then lastly, formational experiences. We want our kids to have certain experiences. I remember as a 15-year-old going to China with my dad and doing like overnight trains, sleeper trains, like, you know, and, you know, wandering the city of Beijing late at night, you know, on my own with my friend and getting into trouble for it. But these were formational experiences. What are some of the ones that you've got down, John, that you want to have your kids?
Yeah, and these are different for everybody. But for me, traveling to where there's poverty and great need, I think in our culture, I think I'd love my kids to experience that. I experienced that. I think, you know, meeting inspiring leaders. I'd just love it when I meet inspiring leaders to for them to be able to meet people who are doing inspiring things, whether they're well known or unknown. I want to fundraise.
I'm available, John. I'm available.
Yeah,
I'm available.
It's all the time in the local church.
Absolutely inspiring leadership right here.
Yeah, fundraising for a cause, serving in church, you know, volunteering at a soup kitchen. I know some people do like an overnight sleepover for homeless charities. So there's probably loads of things that we can share as experiences, something we can do together, some things that you'll do on your own that are quite niche, but loads of possibilities. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm aware of time, aren't we, Tim?
There's just one last thing we wanted to talk about, wasn't it? Which is just this idea of the physical environment.
Yeah.
So when we think about our personal values and we think then about, you know, what we want our kids to be, to know, to be able to do, things to experience, we also need to potentially think about practically how we set up our home. And I think our homes are a reflection, again, of what we value. And so if your house has got a, you know, and there's no judgment here, but an 85-inch TV, then what you're saying is I really value TV. You know, that's just a reality. Like for us, we value time together as a family, eating together. So when we designed our extension, we built our extension really around a kitchen table. You know, we've got plenty of rooms in our home, but our children still share a room. So our boys still share a room. And that's because it's a value. They could have another room if they wanted it, but actually we want them to share. I'm sure they will eventually get their own room, but we want them to share because we want them to be together. We want them to be, and we made space in that room, would you believe, for a piano, three guitars and a drum kit, because we want them to, again, not just have an instrument, but be able to play together. And to be able to enjoy playing together. And so your physical home will reflect your values. And so it's just, again, we want you to think about setting yourself up as an intentional father and, again, as an intentional mother, because there will be mums listening to this as well. How do you create an environment where your personal values and the things you want your kids to know, do, et cetera, have really an opportunity for success, for exploring those ideas more, etc. So that's just a throwaway at the end, really, which is part of the activity workbook. So should we bring it to a close there, John?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. So hopefully we've got you thinking about what you want to pass on to your children when they leave home. This is really, this session is, there's quite a lot in this session. There's quite a lot to think through. There's a lot of reflection work, which is hopefully why you're going to join us if you're watching at this time on Zoom. But if you're doing it with your church somewhere else, you can meet together in Zoom or in small groups to really process this stuff, because often you do need to talk this through with other people. But what we'd love you to be able to do is over the course of the next couple of weeks is take some time on your own, stop, reflect. We'd love you to be able to talk with your wife, and maybe even a little bit sometimes your parents or your children, maybe exploring some of these questions with them, just to draw it out, etc., as you put this together. Because this is not, John, about having it all brilliantly sewed up right now. It's a journey. We're on a journey. We're beginning to explore these ideas together. And so we're looking forward to being able to join with you to continue that journey of exploration. But for now, thank you, John. Until next time.
Bye-bye.